Good morning. Happy New Year. Please turn to Luke chapter 12. God willing, we'll continue to march through. Last time, if you remember, we discussed the rich fool who laid up treasure for himself and was, quote, not rich toward God. And after, we had a discussion about worry. You remember this? Jesus said, life is more important than food, and the body is more than clothing. Don't worry about that stuff. So listen, as your shepherd, don't worry about that stuff. Don't. Life is more than that. This is a very easy thing if you'll let it be. You can see from nature, you can look around and see that God provides for his creatures all around the world. How many creatures? How many? Use your mind, Christian. Use the mind of faith that you know God is in control of this earth. How many creatures does he provide for every second? Can they be counted? Trillions, quadrillions, and more, right? At all times, they are in the care of God. They are well fed, according to Jesus, well fed and beautiful, with no worry on the part of the creature at all. The cardinals are just beautiful because God made them beautiful. And what about you, human? The crown jewel of God's creatures on all the face of the earth and all throughout the universe even. Humans. Would he leave us alone while providing for the mosquito? Would he? Use your mind, Christian. He's a good father. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. He will take care of us. He will provide for us, even the kingdom for our dwelling place. He's a very loving father. So listen, since you know that, store up treasure in heaven. Don't worry about that here. Don't fall for the American lie. You need to store up lots of treasure. You never know how long you'll live. You don't want to be a burden on anyone in your old age. Please. Everyone needs everyone. The idea that we will get old and then people can just leave us be and we'll have perfect strangers take care of us because we have all the money in the world and you can come visit when you have spare time. False. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. God will keep you safe. Spend your money on good things. I'm not saying taking care of your parents wouldn't be a good use of funds. It's not what I'm saying. But the rich fool was not rich toward God. And if he had visited with the financial planner, that planner would have told the rich fool, sound strategy, I like it. Build bigger barns, store up more. Wouldn't he say that? You never know what will happen in the future. That is based around fear. God is going to take care of us. We are his creatures. Even more than that, he loves us. He will exult over us with singing. So store up treasure in heaven. Verse 35 is where we'll start with today's text, and we'll read through verse 48. Please stay seated, but stand up in your minds. Chapter 12, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 41, Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Amen. Stay dressed for action. Some versions will say, gird your loins. The point is, servants often wore long robes and other garments. And if you're going to run somewhere, you have to gather up that long robe. Or if you're going to do some like strenuous work, you have to gather that robe up, tie it up so that it's out of the way. The point here, get dressed and get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Be ready for action. Keep your lamps burning. It's a very similar point. People waiting eagerly at a wedding with torches and lamps ready to receive the wedding party. Both of these are having to do with Jesus' teaching, be ready for his return. Keep serving him. Keep going. And you think, well, how do I store up treasure in heaven instead of on the earth? Well, one of the ways you do that is by serving your master. In the text here, the faithful servants are blessed when he comes and finds them ready and waiting. It says, truly, he'll set them over them all his possessions. Stay ready. Verse 38 and through 40. Even if he comes at a very late watch of the night, right? If he comes in the second watch or the third watch, and the idea is a servant, if they're waiting for their master and it were to get very late, they might just go to bed. You know? You're expecting him at 9, he doesn't show up. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3:30 in the morning, 4. Most servants would go to bed. Maybe he's decided to stay over. Blessed is the servant that even if it's the second or third watch at an hour that no one would expect, he was to show up. The servants are ready. Blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants. Stay ready. He's coming at an unexpected hour. And there's kind of a weird, at least to me it seems, it's not weird that it's not the same idea. It definitely is. But it seems weird to interject a thief in the middle of this. But The point is, if you knew a thief was coming, you'd get ready before he got there so that he couldn't get in. Right? We would make some sort of preparations. Well, the point is, Jesus is teaching, I'm coming. I'm telling you right now, I'm coming. And it's going to be quick, and it's going to be at a time you don't expect. Be ready. Don't be caught like someone who's not ready for the thief, and they forgot to close their garage door last night, and the thief steals everything out of the garage. Don't do that. Be ready. I'm telling you right now, I'm coming. Verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. When people claim to know when Jesus is coming, they don't. He's coming at an hour you do not expect, not at an hour that you expect. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy by these folks. Anytime they make a prediction, it's not going to happen on that day, for sure. Let's read the scriptures and turn to 1 Peter. Similar point. Chapter 1, verse 13. We'll read through verse 21. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. The same idea is here. Prepare your minds for action. The way that Peter is looking at it is, how do you prepare your mind for action? Be holy. If you ordain your life in such a manner that you are holy, your master can come at any time and you won't be caught, quote, with your pants down. Do you understand? He can come any time and you're ready if you're holy. And there's also a warning here, isn't there? Your master could come at any time. Do you want him to come at a time that you're not holy? And I'm not talking like Church of Christ or some denomination like that, which would say if you perish and there's any unconfessed sin, that sin remains on you. That's folly. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, do you want your master to come and find you? Do you understand? We all sin all the time, hopefully less and less as we walk with the Lord, but we still sin. And listen, most of the time it's hidden from everyone else, isn't it? The vilest, the darkest thoughts that you have are not revealed to the rest of your brothers and sisters. Aren't you glad? Yes or no? Aren't you? God conceals it. But when your master appears, do you want to be in one of those moments? You don't. You don't. Be ready at all times. He could come right now. He could come right now. Let's go back to Luke. Verse 41, Peter says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And it's interesting because I feel like Jesus didn't really tell him the answer to that question. Maybe with the thought that the more knowledge you have, the more light you have, the more accountable you are. So am I telling it to you, Peter? Mm-hmm. But I'm telling it to them too. Not sure about that, but Jesus says, Who is the faithful and wise manager? Who is that one? Well, the one that's the faithful and wise manager is the one who's doing what he's supposed to be doing when his master comes home. There's no doubt, Christian, your master is coming home. If we carry on this parable for a minute, he's definitely coming home. He's promised to come home. He has prophesied that he would come back. Do you believe it? Are you ready? Are you carrying on each and every day as if he's coming and will be here any moment? Because if that's your thought, you need to change. It's not the hope of the Christian faith. The hope of the Christian faith is that Jesus is coming back and our bodies will be resurrected. If you're still alive when he comes, which I hope we are, come quickly, Lord Jesus, then we'll be changed. We won't have to die, but we'll definitely be changed. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find him so doing when he comes. When Jesus says truly, does Jesus have to preface his statement with, I'm telling the truth? He never lies. He only tells the truth. So if he says, listen, I'm telling you the truth, then he's trying to emphasize how true this statement is. Truly, I say, he will set him over all his possessions. What does God value in his believers, in his disciples? Faithfulness. Holiness. You want to be a good Christian? Of course you do. Be faithful to your master. We've talked about this before. What good is a servant who doesn't carry out the wishes of his master? Master says, hey, go over there and rake up those leaves. And the servant's like, I'm not going. How long is that servant going to remain? Right? You want to be a good Christian? Obey the orders of your master. What are his orders? Faithfulness, holiness. Verse 45, but if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect. And at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. So the thought that Jesus is addressing here is that after a while the servants start to think, he's not going to come. He's a long way off. It could be months, years. We have access to all the stuff. Let's just have a good time. While he's out, it's like we're the masters of this place. That's the temptation. To think Jesus is a long time in coming. Will he come at all? And Jesus says, if that's your thought process, it's not going to work out well. That type of servant, when the master comes, no mercy. No mercy. You will be killed and put with the unfaithful. Verse 47, this is very important for us. As I interact with people in the world, and especially questions about Christianity, I'm amazed on one hand and very thankful on the other hand how little people know about the Bible's teachings. Even people that claim to be Christians. For Christmas, one of my extended family members gave me a Bible trivia book. Like, you know, questions and answers. Little questions and multiple choice answers. And the book was so easy. I think all of us would get like a 97 without studying or anything. But if you gave that book to the normal people, they would not know the answers. They don't know the scriptures. They don't. It's sad. I was talking to a couple Methodist people that I know. They've been in the news recently. Did you see this? And I was asking them what they thought about it. I'll spare you the gory details. But the point is, they don't know the scriptures. Several times in the conversation, they said, I'm a little rusty on that part. You think? Because your idea is completely opposite to what the scriptures actually teach. Okay, so I was railing against that, but there's a point. There's a point. Verse 47, the servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. I can speak for them and say a lot of what they do is ignorance. They don't know what the scriptures teach, but y'all do, and I do for sure. We know. Jesus is saying there is a different standard, right? If you have an older child and a younger child, the older one has a different standard. You don't expect the 13-year-old to pee in his pants, right? And if they did for some reason, there's a different standard related to maturity and knowledge, experience. All the messages that we've heard, powerful messages that we've heard in the last 25, 30 years, are we more accountable? Do you think you're more accountable? Because you are, definitely. In the world of humanity, how many people have more knowledge than you? What percentage of the world has more scriptural light shined on them repeatedly than you and me? Is there anywhere on the earth that has more light than we have had? It's actually very convicting and fearful. The one who knows what he should do and doesn't get ready will receive a severe beating. Well, listen, I don't think I've ever given my children a severe beating. And I don't know exactly what that would look like. But if God gives you a severe beating, it's not good, right? I mean, some people say, when my daddy spanked me, you never wanted another one. And in general, I think that's a good philosophy for spankings. But God, that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. 48, the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. And there's 2 points here. One, God knows some people are ignorant and they sin from ignorance. He doesn't hold them innocent. He still beats them. Lightly. Some people will say, well, what about all the people around the world? There's no Bible teachers there. How can God hold them accountable? He can. It's not up to us to say, what authority do you hold me accountable? He can. All people, even the most ignorant, he can still hold accountable for sinning. And listen, he does. This is a very controversial topic among most evangelicals. What about the millions upon millions of people that have lived and died and never saw a Bible or a Christian? Are they in hell? Surely God wouldn't do such a thing. Well, to that I answer, there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved except Jesus. If they don't know the name of Jesus, there's no hope. God has not purposed them for mercy, but they are objects of wrath. That is what we should assume. Like, well, wouldn't God give them another way, a secret way? Well, if he did, he didn't tell us about it. What do you say? Is it important that we take the gospel to the nations or not? Will they perish without the name of Jesus or not? Because if they can get in, well, maybe it'd be better if we don't tell them. Because they'll be held more accountable if they don't believe it. And you understand that this is folly. The world needs Jesus. All nations everywhere. Everyone whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Please turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll finish up with this. Really, Jesus is teaching in Luke's account of it. The point is that Jesus is coming, right? It is a prophecy because he hasn't died yet in Luke. He's saying, blessed is the one whom the master finds doing well when he comes. But Jesus hasn't even died yet. He's telling what it's going to be like later. Unless we start to despair and think, yeah, but he's a long time in coming. Chapter 3, verse 1. This is the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. End quote. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Peter says, they deliberately overlook this fact. Verse 8, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. But Or you could say, however, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. Is Jesus coming back? He seems like a long time. Seems like a long time. When's he coming? In our lifetime? And really, do you see the arrogance in accusing God of being slow? Slow? He created the universe. You think he's slow? I think you're slow if you think God is slow. He's coming, brothers and sisters. Don't forget. Be ready. Because we know he's coming, what type of lives ought we to live? And if we're not living them, how come? Is there a faith issue there? Did we forget that he's coming? And that we'll be blessed if he finds us in obedience when he comes. And certainly we wouldn't want to be cut into pieces and put with the unfaithful. Certainly we wouldn't want to be judged because we received so much light and teaching and didn't use it, didn't apply it, didn't let it go down to the inmost parts. Pray to God. Ask him to help you to be ready. Keep your lamps lit. Stay up even unto the second or third watch in the night. He's coming. He's coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. We know that it's the clear teaching in the scriptures that Jesus will return. We're waiting for him. Oh, Lord. Would you help us to be faithful servants, servants that delight in doing their master's will? Help us now as we have fellowship together and eat lunch and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We pray that we might eat and drink in a worthy manner and that we might commune with you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.